Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
With me today is Simon Von Solden from Healthy Male, and we are going to talk about healthy fathers. Good day, Simon.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for your time.
Absolute pleasure, as always.
From memory, last time we spoke about the need for the system to include fathers in the process of being a parent, isn't it? Of parenthood.
Yeah. So, look, within the health system, I've heard it said that the health system it has been designed with women in mind, and that's not a criticism of it. It's more that when you design any product, you tend to design it around the people who use it the most. And women have been much better at using the health system than men for a long, long time. So it's only logical that, in fact, that the health system would then say, OK, well, we need to adapt and change to these needs. Men are actually starting to put their hand up and say that, well, they actually want to be included in certain things and want certain aspects from the health system. And one of these that we found that actually came from the National Men's Health Strategy, which we talked about last time, was that the National Men's Health Strategy called for a more inclusive approach to parenthood and to expand the maternal and child health infrastructure to include fathers. So when we had a look at it, we sort of thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. So we'll have a look at it. And it was really interesting as to what the current state of play was.
Based on my experience, I've given birth here in Australia. And from my experience, your prenatal care, you go to see your GP. Your GP directs you to which hospital you're going to. But during your prenatal care, it's your husband or your partner gets left behind in the waiting room and you go in to have your checkup, isn't it?
And look, you're quite right. And again, this is not anything I say. I'm not saying it to, I certainly don't want to be coming across as beating up the health system. I think they do a fabulous job. And the way that they've done things, you know, it quite rightly focuses on the mother and child. I mean, there's no issue and there's no argument there. What we're saying is that it actually needs to adapt to actually be better include fathers into the whole process, because the fathers are telling us they want to be included. They actually want to be there during those periods of time. They want information that's going to help them be better fathers. And that starts from preconception, the very preconception phase, where usually what happens is that a couple might have a discussion about, you know, it's time to have kids. And so the female partner goes off to maybe go to the chemist and get some zinc and some folate acid, or go to the GP and get a checkup. And the man goes, oh, I'll be here when you need me. And that's actually, this is something we've got to get men to be better at, because what most men, actually the majority of men, do not realise is that the sperm that you produce, actually, you started producing that, making that 3 months ago. So you need to be healthy, and, you know, so all of, because all the things like excess weight, smoking, drinking, all of that can damage and affect the sperm health. Now, surely, if you've decided to have children, you want them to actually be as healthy as possible. And so the best place to start is at the start. And don't wait until they're born.
As you've mentioned earlier, parenthood starts the time when you decide to become one, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And that's when the work for both partners actually really begins. And that's the journey they take together. And we going through this exercise, and we did literature reviews, we researched, we did surveys to fathers and health professionals. We spoke to some nearly 50 organisations across Australia, including state governments, federal government, and organisations that deal with people during childbirth or pre-childbirth or whatever areas. We've also run roundtable sessions. So we've gathered a lot of data, and it keeps coming back to the same thing, is that a lot of men just felt like they were very, very secondary. In fact, of the 370 men that we interviewed for their experiences about trying to become a father, 43% of them scored the health system, their interaction with the health system, as less than 4 out of 10. So
that's pretty low.
Yeah, yeah. Now, interestingly, we also surveyed health professionals on the same question. Health professionals actually scored it worse. 61% of health professionals believed that the health system had let men down. So what we've got is one of those rare situations where you've actually got fathers saying that they would have loved to have had more information, and the people working in the health system saying, yeah, we need to be giving more information.
So it's not a question of the service providers wanting to give service, but there's not as much information that they need to be able to give that service.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, in terms of, and I heard a, I was doing an interview with a fella the other day, and he's a father, runs a group called Dad's Group, which is a great service for fathers. He was saying how, he said, look, he also agrees totally that in terms of, look, the focus on mothers and babies is exactly how it should be. But he said for him to be able to be the best father he could be, he didn't have anyone telling him how to be that and helping him learn for the first time what it is. What does he need to do? When does he need to do it? How does he do it? What sort of range of, what emotions is he going to go through? I mean, one in 20 men suffer anxiety and depression during the pregnancy period. One in 10 men suffer from postnatal depression, yet there's no tools or systems out there to assist them.
There's no test like when you give birth, after a few weeks, you get that test that the midwife will give you to see if you've got depression, postnatal depression or not, isn't it?
Well, that test is based on what's known as the Edinburgh Scale, which was studied along, using women. And that test is fabulous for women and mothers, and also maternal child healthcare nurses are really good at picking those things. There hasn't been something similar done at that scale for men.
And I suppose once men become fathers, it's assumed that they're all happy.
Yes, that's a really good point. In fact, there was a father who said to me, he said, you know, I got told that it would be the happiest day of my life. And he said, and they thrust the baby into my hand. And he said, and I know what I was told to feel, and I felt all the worse because I didn't just feel this immediate love for this child. He said, and so that actually, then I thought there was something wrong with me. And those sorts of emotions and, there should be tools there to help men go through those things and actually understand those things. And that's where things like, there are some really good groups and things for dads, where they can actually talk to one another now. Mm-hmm. And there's more of that. There's more and more services at a service level. But the policy level is still lacking. The strategy for fathers is still lacking at the higher level. So there's no sort of understanding across the health system how to put fathers in there. At no stage, one of the guys was telling me, he said at no stage was he ever asked how he was feeling during the pregnancy. It was just assumed that, and one of them said that the midwife just said to him once, because he said, oh, look, I'm really unsure about how this is going to go. And the midwife looked at him and said, well, toughen up, buttercup.
It's always assumed that the men or the fathers would just hold the mother's hand while giving birth and that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so when you've spoken to a lot of fathers through the course of time, you've found that there is really a need to change the system.
Look, it becomes quite compelling when you have so many fathers telling you that they want to be a part of it. And this is the thing we keep coming back to is the outcome that we would hope is a thing that we can see can happen is that if from preconception, both partners feel like they are in this thing together and they know how to support one another, then when the child comes into the world, there's all the better chance for actually, you know, this unit. And look, it's not a perfect world. People break up, all things happen, but at least they'll have gone in with a fighting chance as to having a good outcome and a good outcome for the child. So they'll have the happiest, healthiest child they possibly can have. And if that unfortunately doesn't happen, they've still got places to go, shoulders to lean on, systems there to actually support them. I mean, one of the areas we looked at was miscarriage and stillborn, and how it was really quite harrowing, some of the stories we got back in that area, because 84% of the men who said that they had suffered, them and their partner had suffered miscarriage or loss, said that their needs were totally overlooked by the health professionals during that time.
It was assumed that it was the mother who was suffering.
Yeah, yeah. And it was always seen as it was the mother. How's the mother going? How's she doing? And absolutely that needs to happen. There is no question that needs to happen. But people have to remember that the father's had a loss too.
And I suppose through time, the roles inside the home or between partners of mother and the father have changed as well, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think we're much more, men no longer sit in waiting rooms smoking cigars. I mean, but that in the 50s, that was the way that men were considered, that was their role during birth.
Nowadays, men change nappies too.
Yes, absolutely, and so they should. and they should be good at it. So, absolutely. And look, again, I mean, everyone I was talking to, it's just, that's what you do.
So what's next after this?
So about 25 organisations, I think it is, and some health professionals, some significant health professionals have endorsed our case for change. We've had some initial discussions with the federal government and they're supportive of what we're doing. And so it's about getting the case for change. There's 7 points within the case for change. And anyone listening who thinks that they're in a position where they might be able to do something and might be able to have an impact.
It just means including you in the conversation, isn't it? The male.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so many times, like, you know, men who went in for IVF treatment with their wives, it was almost like they were there for no reason. And they said, like the conversation was always directed at my partner, my female partner. Recently I saw one of the forms that they had to fill in, and it's written directly at the female. It's like the potential father has no place in the pregnancy. And so it can be little things like that too. It's like this is actually a bit of a group effort going on here. So, it needs to be considered as such.
Hopefully for the next time we talk, changes have been made. Little
well,
steps.
Yes, we can only hope, Marie. That's exactly what we would like to see. And if anyone wants to have a look at our case for change, I'd just tell them to come to our website. It's healthymale.org.au. It's called Plus Paternal. You can find the case for change, have a read, and by all means, get in touch with us if you think that there's something that you'd like to learn about and you'd like to support.
And be part of the conversation.
That would be great.
Thank you very much, Simon Van Solen from Healthy Male.
Thank you for your time.
E like, e share, and comment. Sundar SBS Filipino sa Facebook.